Okay, if you would now please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll be picking up our reading again today at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, and again looking at beginning with verse 18. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tiratus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. When I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love and faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, as we come again to you this morning, we're thankful for this Lord's Day that you've given us. We thank you, dear God, that we're able to assemble here in thy house. Lord, we're thankful for each one that has come out. And Lord, I just pray that that as we look upon this vitally important subject in the life of your children, dear Lord, that we'd be open to the things that you will show us. And dear God, if there would be one here this morning that's lost, I'd pray that this is the day that you draw them unto yourself. And dear Lord, what you do, we will thank you and praise you for. We do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we want to conclude the message that began last Sunday dealing with spirit-filled praying. Now, last week we didn't do anything other than just set the table for what we're going to be looking at today, which is getting into the heart of the message, the heart of what I believe the Lord would have us to see. Just keep in mind from last time that we are instructed, the Lord pointed out to us through the Word of God, that prayer should be a natural part of who we are. As a child of God, we should be known as people who pray. And yet, in the Scripture, we are admonished on more than one occasion that we should pray, that we ought to pray. And our relationship with God should be so close that we speak to God just as easily and just as comfortably and just as naturally as we speak to one another. And also that when we pray, to make sure that prayer comes from our heart. If we're not awful careful, we say the same prayers, the same times, the same things, about the same things, that they become nothing more than ritual rather than an outpouring of our heart, which is what true prayer should be. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that we should pray one or two times for the salvation of a friend or loved one and quit, that we should pray one or two times about a need that we have and then quit. That's not what I'm saying at all. Just to make sure that when we do pray, it's coming from our heart and not from some preset memorized words that we happen to mumble through as we go on. I believe with all my heart that things such as that are not any more than just simply stench in the nostrils of God. Now, as we begin this getting into the heart of things, I want to start by looking at the concept of prayer. What is the concept that we're talking about? What is it showing to us about this subject? It's clear from what we have read in the passage that this passage is about prayer from verse 18 all the way to the conclusion of the chapter. Specifically, it's about how that we are to utilize prayer in our daily lives and in the context of the spiritual warfare that we are involved in. This is not a lie. I really wish that our lives was like some present them to be, as just kind of a cakewalk till we get into the pearly gates. But the Bible tells us that our life is a spiritual battle. We have hardships, we have trials, we have troubles. Satan does all that he can to make us as miserable as he possibly can. He does all that he can to rob our joy, to rob our peace, to rob our comfort. He does all that he can to disrupt our lives. So we have to be aware and understand that we are indeed involved in spiritual warfare. And God has given us all that we need to fight the battle victoriously if we'll just utilize that which He has given us. Likewise, one of the greatest gifts He has given us is the ability to ask prayer matters, go directly to Him. I am glad that I don't have to go to somebody and have them pray for me. Now, I can ask people to pray for me, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I can talk to God just as easily as anybody else can. So therefore, I can go to the Lord about my problems. As much in the same way as how thankful I am that we don't have to go and confess our sins to somebody. You know? Although, man, there are some of you, I would love to hear your confession sometime. I'd have preaching material for the next 20 years. You know? I can see what we can fix up for some of you, but, you know, it's like they talk about stuff is purely for medicinal purposes. It is to be purely for church purposes. And you have my word on it. Okay. As we look at the concept of prayer, I think it's good that we should define what it is that we're talking about. You may say that's just a bit elementary, but I don't think that it is. Sometimes I think we fail to grasp the full depth of what prayer is. The dictionary defines prayer as a request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God. That's a pretty good generic definition, isn't it? It's a pretty good kind of sanitary definition. It hits it, but it doesn't really tell you much. The word used here speaks of general requests that are made to God. And we'll talk about general requests here in just a little while. Simply put, as you were aware of, prayer is nothing more than talking to God. Talking to God about what's going on in your life, what you're dealing with, what you're facing, what you're battling, and so on. We think that, somehow, we think that in order to pray, our prayers have to be full of these great big flowery words and great big eloquent expressions. That's not true at all. Our prayers should come in reverence to God and understanding who God is, and we just, out of that reverence to Him, talk to Him. Talk to Him. It's not that complicated. Talk to Him about what's going on in our lives. The breath of a redeemed soul. I forget now who I read this, who said this. But it is the breath of a redeemed soul exalting its needs and its worship toward God. Now that's a lot more in depth and to the point what prayer is. It is the very essence, the very breath of your soul, if you are a child of God, telling the makers, telling God Almighty, what those needs are in your life, what you're going through. Now, God already knows what they are, right? God already knows what He's going to do about it. But prayer is not for the purpose of changing God, it's to change us, right? To change our attitude, to change the way we perceive about things, to get us ready for what may be coming, our way that we may look at it as being unpleasant, but it's necessary, or God wouldn't be taking us through that path. And He's working with us and working through us in matters such as that. To be a Christian without prayer, without genuine, honest, sincere praying, is no more possible than to be alive and not breathe. That's how important it is. If a person says that they are saved, if a person says that they are redeemed, and they never pray, I'm not talking about necessarily in public, but if they never pray, if they never talk to God, if they never ask help from God, leadership from God, tell me what I should do in this situation, direction from God, if they never pour out their heart and soul to God, then my friend, they're not a child of God. Am I telling you the truth? I've heard stories of people that tragedy had struck their family. There's one in particular I'm thinking of who lost a teenage daughter. And as the pastor of church got to the hospital just as the family was leaving. He was several miles away when he got the call. And as he met that daughter's father in the parking lot at the hospital, he looked at him and looked at the preacher and he said, "You know, I learned how to pray last night." Now let that sink in. Didn't say he didn't pray before. But in that situation, he knew what it was about, pouring your heart out to God. Right? There are some matters in life that until you've experienced them yourself, you really can't pray for somebody in regards to them. Like what? Glad you asked that question. You can't really pray for somebody that's lost a loved one, a very close loved one, spouse, child, whatever, until you yourself have experienced that. Then you can pray for them. You pray for them before, but you know what? You have experienced those emotions, so you can take them to the Lord. So what I'm saying, somebody that never prays is simply not saved. It's that important. It's that much a part of who they are. I really hated to use this quote, but it was because it was by somebody who was not even a Christian. But it was one of the best quotes on prayer that I've ever read. And will y'all not throw a book at me if I tell you who this quote come from? This quote was made by Mahatma Gandhi. He was a pagan. You know, as far as I know, he's frying right now. But this was a quote he made about prayer. "Prayer is not asking, it is a longing of the soul. It is daily admission of one's weakness." That's pretty good. I don't care who said it, that's good. You know, it is the desire of the song. Do you long for the fact that your shortcomings, your weaknesses, your pet sins, if you will, those things that you fight day in, day out, do you long for the time that you don't have to fight them anymore? That you're free of them? Do you long that God would give you deliverance for them once and for all? Do you wish they weren't there? Sure we do. We all do. Or we ought to. Because it's things we all face. And it is asking God to help me with those things. To Lord, I can't do this on my own. If I do this on my own, I'm going to fail. If I do this on my own, I'm going to fall flat on my face. How do we know? Well, because we have, right? And I need your help. This is my problem, and I need your strength. That's what prayer is all about. Anytime we turn our attention toward God and speak to Him, we're praying. You know, it's a lot more than picking up a little book of prayers and read them pretty little poems they have written in there. They're nice and they're well written and they express thoughts very, very well, but they're not praying. If you have to read a prayer out of a book, then you got some serious problems. Prayer comes from your heart. Prayer comes from who you are. Now, our praying, in fact, can take many forms. We pray in private, or at other times we may pray in public. I don't speak out in public. What do you do if you're at a restaurant? How about them? Do you thank God for your food? Do you thank God for what He's brought you to? Brought you through that day or whatever? Then you're praying in public, right? It's not praying in public can take the form of like, here at church, somebody stands, leads us in prayer or whatever, but it could be just praying in public when we ask God to bless our food. And we pray at home. We pray in private. We pray when there's nobody around but us. And then it's when we really get serious with God because nobody can hear us. And we talk about the things that we need to do. We pray in loud voices, and other times we whisper our prayers, and there are still yet other times we pray in silence. Now, there's a lot of praying that you can do and nobody ever hears but God. And I'm not talking about an unknown tongue either. I'm talking about it's just silent praying. Things that you're talking to God about. We have times in which We said that that are set aside for prayer, as in a lot of folks will start their day with prayer before they get out of bed. A lot of folks will pray before they go to sleep. A lot of people pray before each meal. That is set times when they take their petition, they talk to the Lord. And then there are other times when prayer is a spontaneous occurrence. You get in a situation, you come across a news of a problem or whatever, and you just simply pray about it right then, right there. A spontaneous occurrence. We pray in all types of positions and all types of postures. We sit, we stand, we kneel, and we lie down. All those ways we can still do what we need to do and pray to God. We pray when we walk, we pray when we drive, and we pray when we're at rest. And you got to watch that last one, because while you're at rest, you may go to sleep while you're praying. Don't ask me how, I know. We pray at home. We pray at church. We pray at work. Well, sometimes you got to do a lot of praying at work just to get through that day, right? Resist the urge to put a knot on somebody's head that really needs it. And we pray at vacation. Really, that's some of the best times you can pray is at vacation, when you're relaxed and you're away from everything and you can just talk to God. Are we expect to do that kind of stuff when we're away and resting? Yeah, it's naturally part of who you are, right? That's a good time to pray. Out walking by yourself, I mentioned that, that's a great time to pray. Just out and thinking about things and what's going on. And I've got to move on, but you know what I'm talking about. We pray at home. We pray at church, at work, and on vacation. We already talked on that. We can pray with our... Oftentimes people pray with their hands up and their heads down, or they can pray with their heads up and their hands down, or they can simply pray with their heads and hands up or down, whatever the case may be. People pray with their eyes open, other times with their eyes closed. As I've said before, if we are in the car together and I am riding and you are driving and you feel the need to pray, please keep your eyes open. That would be my request. The Bible also talks about many forms of prayer. Along with what we mentioned, it talks about places of prayer, postures of prayer, and circumstances for prayer, all in the Scriptures. That being so, however, the Bible does not say that one form, place, posture, or circumstance is better or above any other. One's just as good as the next. We know from the Bible that Jesus prayed quite often while he was here. In fact, he prayed so often and so freely that the disciples came to him and asked him, "Teach us to pray." Right? Lord, teach us how to pray. Have you ever asked God to teach you how to pray? We ought to from time to time. And even at the best that we do, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and forms them to where they're acceptable before Almighty God, doesn't it? Isn't it funny when the Scripture points out we don't even know how to pray for ourselves as we ought to? That shouldn't slow us down from doing it. We still should be known for that fact. So we understand that the Lord prayed sitting, kneeling, and possibly in other positions. We can pray anywhere, at any time, about anything, and in any posture. The importance is prayer. It's the condition of the heart, not the position of the body, that matters. And that's important. This passage tells us when we should pray. It says always. When am I supposed to pray? Always. How often am I supposed to pray? Always. What Scripture says. We've seen or are seeing as we go through this what prayer really is. The word always carries the idea in it of at all times, in all seasons, at every opportunity that you have. Prayers don't have to be always, "Lord, I need and help me with this, and I need that and the other." It's not always that. Prayers can also be, "Thank you, God, for helping me pay my bills. God, thank you so much for blessing my garden and our fields with a bountiful harvest. Thank you, dear Lord, for enabling me to have, well, I've said this before. Ted Nugent said you're supposed to cry after you kill an animal. Do you believe he said that? That this magnificent creature that God, that you have killed, that God created, you should shed a little tear. Never have. That is, except the time to scope, I scope myself, but anyway. Yeah, when they get away. But what I've always done before I've ever got out of my tree stand or got out of the ground blind or done anything to go toward that animal, I thank God for it. Why? He's the one who brought it. I believe with all my heart, he's the one who brought it to me. He's the one who guided that bullet to where it would get, where I could get it. They say, I don't believe. You may not. I do. We pray always, right? About everything that comes around. Every opportunity. Now, the Jews in Paul's day had several set times when they prayed. It's evident today that the Muslims in our day have 5 specific times for prayer every day. Christianity also has a specific time for prayer. Always. Just always. That's when we should do it. The Bible speaks of this in a number of places, just a few here as an example. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17, just simply pray without ceasing. So what's this show us? There's absolutely no time in our lives when we don't need to pray. You're never so good. Life's never so prosperous. Things are not ever going so well that you don't need to pray. Why is it that it's only in times of trouble that we pray? You ever notice that? I'm telling you to look inside at your own life. It's been true with me. I do most of my praying, sadly, when I'm in the worst possible situation. We should pray just as much when everything's going well and thanking God for what he's done. There's no time that we cannot pray. There's no time when God will not be listening and when he will hear our prayer. He's promised us that, hasn't he? That he hears us when we pray. But there's nothing that I can think of that should give you any more encouragement to pray than assurance that he hears you. Every single prayer you utter, he hears. Now, prayer does not mean that we just simply walk around in an attitude of formal prayer. Neither Jesus nor his disciples ever did that. To pray always does not mean that we count beads or repeat memorized prayers and prayer phrases. Folks, that's what the pagans did in the scripture. You can see an example of that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. To pray always does mean that we see everything and every experience in our life in the light of our prayers to God. God, you have blessed me with this. I understand that this is from you. I understand that I'm going through this. It's going to make me a better person. Lord, help me get through it. However, do not pray for patience. And I don't want you praying that I get patience. I'm patient enough. But that's the kind of things that we're talking about. Everything in our life, everything that we see, everything that happens, we do so in the light of prayer. Either thanking God for it, understanding why we've got it, and help knowing that this experience is going to make me better. I'll be glad when it's over, but it's going to make me better. When we are tempted, we call on him, asking for his help. Oh, we do so. Anybody here ever been tempted, or am I the only one? Does Satan tempt you? Not according to Scripture. When we are tempted, we're tempted of our own lusts. Now, Satan may give us the opportunity, but the temptation's right here in our old flesh. And that thing that draws us away. And what do we need to do? First of all, get away from it. You'll never give in to a temptation that you walk away from. Right? And secondly, ask God to help you with it. Sometimes we get the idea and the notion that we're less of a person, we're less of a child of God, if we are tempted to do something that deep down inside we know is horrible. We know that no child of God should ever do. That doesn't mean you're a horrible person. That means you're human, right? And there's nothing that you may be led to do that you can't ask God to help you with, right? Because, let me put it to you this way. Would David ever committed the sin he did with Bathsheba if he'd asked God for help? Would he have ever committed that sin with Bathsheba had he just turned around and went back into his bedchamber? See what I'm saying? Doesn't make you horrible. Doesn't make you wicked. Doesn't make you evil. It makes you human. Because rest assured, every one of us has those things that we have to ask help for. Every one of us, without exceptions. One of those few things that you can say, everybody without exception. When we sin and wickedness engulfs our lives, we call on Him to forgive us and help us to overcome. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise, folks. That's not just in the Bible for filler. When we see something beautiful, we give thanks to God for it. I love to see some of the beautiful panoramas in nature. You know, I like to be up high on a mountaintop somewhere where you can look out and see mountain after mountain after mountain after mountain. That's beautiful. We walked out when we was up at Watoga, out to, I forget the name of the trail now. Do you remember what it was called? Anyhow, the CCCs had built a fire tower out there. No, this was at Watoga. I know the one you're talking about, but this is one at Watoga. And it's three miles from where you go. You're on the head of the trail till you get to where the fire tower is. I wanted to see it. Elaine and the women at the office laughed and told me I couldn't do it. Yeah. The day I tore my meniscus, I was going to make that trip one way or another. And I did. Yeah. But when you got out there, it was right on top of the mountain, and it was only two stories. Only had one set of steps to go up. And you could see right across, I think it said you could see into Virginia, but you could look across beautiful farm land. You could see cows are just like little dots moving around. The magnificence of it was awe-inspiring, if you like that sort of thing. And you realize that beautiful panorama and the ability to enjoy it were both put there by God. Right? It's all there because of Him. When we enter a time of trouble, we look to God for help and deliverance to get us through it. When we cry. You know, boys have been done a disservice for many, many years. You know, men don't cry. No, toughen up. You're not supposed to cry. Give me a chapter and verse for that. Right? Jesus wept, exactly. It's not a, you know. There's nothing wrong with under times of grief or whatever that to weep. So when you cry, you're not too tough to cry. When you do, we lean on God for support. But let's face it, male or female, when we cry, it's at a really bad point in our life. We're going through something really rough at that time. Exceedingly painful, exceedingly sorrowful, exceedingly something bad. So we lean on God for support. When we're happy, we lift our hearts to God in thanksgiving. And when we come across someone who's lost, we come across a friend or companion or just somebody, our neighbor, who's lost, We ask for His help as we witness to them to say the things that we need to say. So that prayer pretty well encompasses our whole life, doesn't it? If we do it as we ought to. Now, what does this do for us? When life is lived this way, it becomes an ever-ascending prayer to the Lord. That is, everything about our life, if we utilize these things, will become evident as we pray, that we are forever asking God or thanking God or whatever the case may be. There'll be times when we get alone with God to pray, some of the greatest times we had, and we've talked about those at length before. A great deal of time, however, our lives should be a continual exaltation of the soul breathing out its love for and its dependence upon God. You're keeping your flesh in check. There have been times, y'all know that how much I enjoy going up there he calls it work. I just enjoy being up there on the farm doing this, that, and the other. It's therapy for me. And there have been times when Mike's been doing something and things not going very well, that his flesh has wanted to say some things, but he's caught it. There have been times up there doing some things that I have really wanted to say something, my flesh, but I've choked it back. How do we do that? By asking God's help to keep us from saying things that could be a detriment to our testimony. That being said, sometimes they still slip out, don't they? Oh, don't look at me that sanctimonious. You do too. Criminy. But we ask God's help to not take anything away from our testimony. This is a time when our soul is shedding out its love and its dependence upon God. This is the idea the Scripture had there for us, watching thereunto with all perseverance. This means, beloved, that at all times we are to be alert with our eyes open to the needs of others. Of others. Not just to our needs. That's selfish. But to the needs of others. That's the reason why I truly hope that everyone that's here today and those that will be here next Sunday would genuinely pray about that fellow uptown. I think you should. I know I'm going to be as much as the Lord brings him to my mind, asking God to help. He has a real need, doesn't he? Through no fault of his own. We need to pray for him. Pray for him with everything that we have. We ought to be steadfast, constant, persistent as our souls reach upward to God for help that we and others need. Don't just pray once and give up. God honors the always in prayer, that is, that we pray constantly and continually, but God also honors the watchful, persevering prayers of His people. Now, how do we know that? This was interesting as I was putting this together. There are two parables that Jesus addressed this particular matter. In one parable, you find a persistent man who continually asks for bread from his neighbor in the middle of the night. And he asked until his request was granted, until the fellow got up. Now, it'd be maybe a little inconvenient for us today, but in that day, they had everything in their house all gathered there together. So he'd have to step over his children, he'd have to step over his wife, he'd have to step over the animals that might be in there, if he had any. They were all right there. So he would go and get what little bit was, what might be left. To this, at the end of the parable, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Be persistent in what you're asking for, what you need. Second parable, Jesus spoke about a widow who petitioned the judge about her need. And she continued to aggravate the judge until he gave in and granted her request. Now, I'm not implying that we aggravate God with our prayers. Certainly not. The Bible teaches opposite of that. However, it was at the end of this prayer that Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Don't have to take matters in your own hands if you're being abused or something happens that you need. God will take care of you. Can anybody here honestly testify of a time that God didn't take care of you, that God didn't provide for you, that God never met your need? Can anybody do that? Nobody I know of. I've never experienced it myself. Sometimes things didn't always work out the way I wanted them to, but they worked out how I needed them to. There's a vast difference in that. The point of both these parables is that God answers the specific petition, persistent prayers of his people. It's always too soon to stop praying. We pray continually until or unless God tells you not to. Will God ever lead you not to pray? Yeah. Remember when Moses was taken up, he wanted to go into the promised land after he had smitten the rock the second time? And he was asking God to forgive him, to let him go into the promised land. God told him, "Speak to me no more on this matter. Don't talk to me anymore about it." God told Paul, when Paul was wanting to have the infirmity of the flesh removed, the thorn in his side, or a thorn in his flesh rather, that, "I'm not going to take it away, but my grace is sufficient for you." So there are times, does God speak to you audibly? No. But you'll know deep inside in your spirit that they don't need to be taken care of. It's kind of just the same way as you know deep down in your spirit that God's taking care of something, or God's going to take care of it, and the assurance that you give. Secondly, the content of prayer. Don't worry, I'm going to get through in time. Ish. How should we be? When the need is known, the prayer should be specific. God honors specific prayers. Now, when I go to the Lord, I could say, "Lord, please meet the needs of all the folks at our church." That's general. But if I say, "Lord, you know that Brother Steve is going through," and list off what he's going through, "please take care of that matter for him. I pray for Brother Glenda. Lord, please save her someday." You know, whatever the... Man, I let that one slip out, didn't I? You know? But we're praying for specific things and specific matters. We can pray specifically. When we pray specifically and when God answers our prayers, this, beloved, gives us confidence in our prayer lives. I can gladly pray for you about a matter because I know how he took care of it for this person. That type of thing. It also gives us assurance in the power of God to not only hear, but also to answer our prayers. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19-20, he talks about the "for me." At this point, Paul makes some specific requests for himself, some areas in his life that he needed help with. He reminds his friends in Ephesus that he is in bonds. He's not a free man now. He's jailed. He can't come and go as he once did. He assures them, though, that this imprisonment is for the glory of God by calling himself an ambassador. If you spend this night in a hospital somewhere, it's for the glory of God. How could it be? You don't know how your life's going to reach out to somebody. Right? The Bible says whether we eat or whether we drink, do all things to what? For the glory of God. And Paul was able to recognize that, understand that. He requests for prayer that he might be given utterance, that he might open his mouth and speak boldly, even to those who had him, even to those who were holding him, that he would speak boldly the things of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The mystery of the gospel, he said. He asked for prayer that he might preach as he ought to speak. Boy, it's awfully easy to trace a rabbit trail and get on things that you want to talk about and not necessarily what God wants you to talk about. And it's been my experience that those trails get you in trouble every time. Make sure that what you say is what God would have you to say. In every situation, in every circumstance you come to. Paul requested for himself was that he might preach the gospel in a way that God will use it to draw the lost to himself. To that degree, I would ask, I desire y'all's prayers for Elaine and I. Well, there have been two situations that we've been asked to witness and speak to a couple individuals that are lost to a shark in a Walmart parking lot. So pray the Lord would give us the wisdom to know how to talk to them. And the Lord will use us to whatever His will is in their life. I pray that God would save them. So I will ask you to pray for us in that regard. And that's all I'm going to say about it. So don't ask me any more. His prayer is that God will bless his preaching and that God will use him, even in his imprisonment, to bring others to the Lord. By praying for him in this way, the Ephesian believers would be allowed to share in Gospels in Paul's work in Rome. This passage highlights two great truths. It shows us the need for specific praying. Paul asked for some very specific needs. These requests are tangible matters and could be verified. When all of our praying is just simply in general terms, you never know whether the Lord answers or not, because it's so general, so broad, so vague. When we pray specifically and the Lord answers, there's no doubt of what has happened, what God has done. Jesus repeatedly tells us to pray specifically. In John chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." John 15, verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now, I'm not going to get all the way through this, but I want to conclude with this thought. When Jesus said that whatsoever we would ask in his name, he would do, did he mean that? Is that true? And yet, the scripture tells us in another place, there are reasons why we don't have what we ask for. Now, why don't we have them? They're asked amiss. They're asked for our own fleshly desires, whatever they might be. So, beloved, the promise that God will hear and answer our prayers are only those prayers that are asked in accordance with His will. Right? Now, there's some matters you don't have to pray about. Here I've been talking about prayer all morning, the need for it. But you know, there's some things you don't have to pray about. For example, you never have to pray, "Lord, should I go to church this Lord's Day?" We've been told to go, right? You don't have to say, "Lord, should I tithe?" We're commanded to tithe. Don't need to pray about that. But boy, there's a whole host of things we should. And beloved, when we are listening to the Spirit, when our prayers are Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, then, beloved, those are the things that are in accordance with God's will. And those are things that He will act upon. Now, what about that loved one that we had that we prayed for diligently for quite some time and the Lord took him home? Did He answer our prayers? Yeah, He did. He just didn't answer them in the way that we thought we wanted. That person was delivered. That person was, if you will, healed. They were taken out of the suffering. They were taken out of the battles that they were in. So, beloved, the prayers that God answers sometimes aren't the way that we think they should be, but that doesn't mean that God did not answer them. And sometimes when we ask God to do something for us, He says the answer is yes, but it's not when we necessarily think it ought to be. I've often thought about if I ever wrote a book about my life, which I'm not, I'm no writer, but if I did, you know, if I ever included a chapter on the times that we was down in Hampton, Newport News, I would entitle that chapter 12 Years in Egypt. And we prayed daily, Lord, especially once got finished with Bible college, you know, Lord, lead me to a church. Lead me somewhere. You didn't call me to clean toilets all the time. Not against, you know, that's a job that needs to be done. I'd be happy to do it now, but that's not what I was called to do. You see what I'm saying? That perfectly glad to do it, but I was called to pastor church. The Lord did. 12 years we were down there. And you think about, had I not been there for 12 years, I would have never met Sister Dolores, Brother Bruce, Ron, Pam, those children. I probably would have never met Preacher Stoniker's son Mark. You know, even through those experiences, God blesses us, doesn't He? Little did I know, when I stood in the pulpit of this church, before we ever went to Virginia, that at that point, 13 years later, this would be the church God would lead me to. Funny thing is that I remember Clifford Sims showed me in the Bible, he had the notes and the date when I was here. Or, you know, marked the date and the passage I preached on. I'm glad he didn't keep the notes because they stunk. But the point I'm making is God answers our prayers. Be instant in prayer. Be continual in your prayer. Be specific in your prayers. And listen to how the Spirit would guide you as you pray. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father,